Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Lamed Daled Amud Aleph, 10 lines down. We just read the Braita. The Braita is trying to figure out how do we know everything that takes place on Rosh Hashanah. That includes that we blow the shofar, because the word shofar is never mentioned by Rosh Hashanah, only the Truah. But the means by which you produce the Truah is not mentioned. That is mentioned by Yovel. Number two is, how do we know that you have to blow a tekiah before every truah and a tekiah after every truah? It's also not written by Rosh Hashanah, rather by the Yovel. And the third thing we don't know is, how do we get to the series that we were mentioned in the Mishnah, which was shalosh, 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 shalosh. Three series of three. How do we know that that exists? That's also learned from the Yovel plus Rosh Hashanah. So the way that the Braita came about with it, it started out saying that there's a hekesh, because by Yovel it says B'chodesh HaShivi'i, which is unnecessary, Chodesh HaShivi'i, because it says Yom Kippur. We know Yom Kippur is in Chodesh HaShivi'i, so why does it mention Chodesh HaShivi'i? To tell you that everything in Chodesh HaShivi'i is the same. Then the last thing that the Braita ended off with was a Gzer Shava of Shvi'i Shvi'i, which teaches us that all the Truot of the Chodesh HaShivi'i are the same. That means that the two times that Truah is mentioned by Rosh Hashanah and the one time that Truah is mentioned by Yovel, we combine all of those to get the three Truot. And then when you add on the Tkiot, you get to the nine, and then it applies both to Rosh Hashanah and to Yovel. So that's how the Braita ended. The Gemara says, Hai Tana Mikara Maiti Lo Behekesha. In the beginning, the Braita begins by using the Hekesh of Bechodesh HaShivi, Vahashta Maiti Lo Begzer Shava. And then after that, it brings it as a gzera shava. So which one is it? Is it a hekesh or a gzera shava? So hachi kamar. This is what the Braita means. Ilav gzera shava, have a maitin ilav behekesha. If it was not for the gzera shava, we could have done it through a hekesh. Hashto, the acha gzera shava, a hekesha lo tzarich. Now that we have a gzera shava, we don't need a hekesh. Now first of all, gzera shava can only be done through misora. Can only be done by a misora from one's Rebbe, passed down from Sinai. Gzera Shava is not something that you do on your own. So that's number one. So once you have a Gzera Shava, that has to be Misora. Hekesha is questionable. Rashi over here says, Ilo Nemra Gzera Shava Zu, the Moshe Mi Sinai, the Duna, Haita Mevi Hakol Behekesha, Klomer Mi Atzmo. He would have done it on his own. Meaning that you could be Doresh the Torah through a Hekesh, and he would have done this by himself without the Misora necessarily. Now, that's not so clear, as you can see, the Rabbi Kiva Eger points out over here, that Rashi, in other places in Shas, says that you cannot make a Hekesh on your own. So, that's a good question as to what Rashi's Shita is here, whether you can make a Hekesh on your own, you can't make a Hekesh on your own. Sometimes, it might relate to whether you have a problem with the Hekesh, is there's a logical problem with the Hekesh. Sometimes the Hekesh can exist despite the logic. And in that case, maybe you need a Misora to uphold the Hekesh despite the logic. But if you make a Hekesh where the logic is not undermined, maybe over there you can make a Hekesh on your own. That's one possibility. But there is a difference. Rashi and other places in Shas mentions that Gzeira Shava makes it as if the item is written directly in the Torah. It becomes a Din D'Oraita that is Katuv B'Torah, that's written in the Torah. And that has implications for things like, when do we object? When do we say mutav shiyu shogim ve'altiyu mezidim? Do we look at it as if it's written in the Torah? And onshin, here there's no onish because it's an assay, but onshin also have an impact. There are differences to whether we have gzeira shava or not. But there are subyot and shas that really actually argue about this issue, whether gzeira shava is more important than a hekesh, or hekesh is more important to a gzeira shava. And the truth is that different conclusions in different sugyot, so it's not so clear which one takes precedence. But over here, the Gemara is clearly favoring the Gzer Shava, and that's what it says in the end. He tried on his own, but then he got to a Gzer Shava, and once he had the Gzer Shava, he said, I don't need the Hekesh. Alright, so now, that's the end of that Braita. Now, V'hai Tano, mighty love Gzer Shava Midbar. We have another Tano who brings it from Gzer Shava in the Midbar. Now, he's not going to be able to do everything without the Yovel, so he's going to need parts of what we used in our Braita, but he's going to find an alternate for certain pieces of information. For instance, the Tanya, we have a Braita. Tkatem trua. So it says by the Chatzotzrot, last week's parasha Balotcha, that you should blow the trua. That's the Pashtut of Pasuk, is that you will blow a trua. But he says, Tkia bifnei atzma, utrua bifnei atzma. When it says Tkatem trua, it means Tokeya Tkia, and then trua. Instead of calling the tkia being the verb that's telling you what to do, and the trua being the sound that you make, He's suggesting that the word tekatem means blow a tkia, and then trua means blow a trua. So he says, is that the way to read it? Atomer tkia bifinatsma trua bifinatsma o enu elo tkia utrua achadi. Maybe it's just one. Utkatem trua means blow a trua. Right, it's a verb that is telling you the action for the trua rather than being a verb that is describing its own objective to be a tkia. Shua mer uba akila tekal titkiu velo tariu. It says, when you want to gather the people, blow a tkiah and not a truah. The omer tkiah bifnei atzma, truah bifnei atzma. There is a differentiation in the sounds. Uminayin shepshut alefaneha. So then how do you know you have pshut alefaneha? That's tamalomar tkatem truah. That's what we just said, that the tkatem truah tells you tkiah, then truah. Uminayin shepshut alachra. Tamalomar truah itko. So again, he darshans it the same way. Not that trua you shall blow, but rather trua blow, and then itkao blow a tkia. So here you have another way to learn out that you have a tkia before the trua and a tkia after the trua. Now what's very interesting here is that you're learning out from the chatzotzrot, which the Gemara earlier in the Masechta said, oh, chatzotzrot, shofar, they're totally different. But here he's learning out from chatzotzrot. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broko Omer, it says, utkatem trua shenit. It says you will blow a second trua. This is when they have the masa machane. In Balotcha, when it describes the machane moving, it says you'll blow a trua, and then degel machane yuda will start out. Then utkatem trua shenit, and then degel machane ruvein will move. Shein tamalomer shenit. Why does it have to tell you it's the second one? Obviously it's the second one because you blew a trua before and you blew a trua now. It's obvious that this is the second trua. So matam alomer shenit. So why is it telling you the second one? Zibnei av. This is a paradigm, a binyan av. Shekol makom shenemer trua, tehe tkia shenit la. Anytime you have a trua, make the tkia second to it. Meaning that there's always a tkia afterwards. So he just has a different way of getting the tkia afterwards. Instead of saying trua itko is the source, he says that shenit is the source for that. Ainli ela b'midbar. That's only true in the midbar. Rosh Hashanah minayin. Tamad lomar trua, trua, the gzera shava. So we have a gzera shava between the word trua found in Balotcha by the Chatzotzrot to the trua found by Rosh Hashanah or by Yovel. We'll see in a second. That is the gzera shava to tell you that it applies over here. So now, Ushlosh truot nemru b'Rosh Hashanah. And there are three truot mentioned by Rosh Hashanah, which is not true. There are only two truot that are mentioned by Rosh Hashanah, but there's an additional trua that's mentioned by Yovel. So what's clear here is that he needs the same limud that we had before, which is the fact that all the truot, shvi shvi, are matched up. So he says, you have Shabbaton zichron trua, Yom trua, which are written by Rosh Hashanah, and then Vavarta Shofar Trua, which was written by the Yovel. Ushtei Tkiot L'chol Achat V'Achat. And then you have a Tkiah before a Tkiah afterwards. Tzino L'meidim, Shlosh Truot, V'Sheish Tkiot Nemru B'Rosh Hashanah. You have three Truot that are mentioned, and six Tkiot, which we'll explain in a second. Shtai Midivrei Torah V'Achat Midivrei Sofrim. Two that are Minat Torah, and one is Midivrei Sofrim. Shabbaton zichron trua, vavata shofar trua, midivrei Torah. Those are divrei Torah. Yom trua yelechem, lotamudohu ba. That comes for the gzera shava to the chatzotzrot. He used up one of the truot to have a gzera shava from chatzotzrot to Rosh Hashanah. He needs that for the limud to bring over the tkia before the tkia afterwards over to Rosh Hashanah. So he uses up one of the truot for his gzera shava. Once he does that, he's only left with two truot. When he's left with two truot, that's what he just said. I have two truot min haTorah, which tell me that I have to blow two truot on Rosh Hashanah or on the Yovel, I have to blow two truot. I have a tkia before, a tkia afterwards. That means I have a total of six sounds that are min haTorah. Then I have one midivrei sofrim. The Rabbanan took that truah that he had used for the Gzera Shavah and said that truah will also be a truah for Rosh Hashanah, and therefore I'll have nine sounds on Rosh Hashanah. Six of which are Minat Torah, and the last three which are only Midrabanan, because I used one of the Truot for the Gzer Shava to the Chatzotzrot in the Midbar. So unlike the previous Braita, who has three Truot, from the Shvi'i Shvi'i Gzer Shava, and therefore he says all nine blows are Minat Torah. The three Truot are Minat Torah, and then the Tkiot that are before and afterwards are also Minat Torah. So I have nine blows Minat Torah. This Tana in the Braita says that there are only six of the sounds are Min HaTorah, and then the last three are Midivrei Sofrim. Again, this happens because he uses the trua by Rosh Hashanah for Gzer Shava to the Chatzotzrot to learn out Tkia before and Tkia afterwards. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar Rabbi Yotan, Achat mitivrei Torah, Ushtai mitivrei Sofrim. He learns one min Torah, and two of the truot are midrabanan. Ve'avarta shofar truah midivrei Torah. The only one that's min Torah is ve'avarta shofar truah, which is by the Yovel. Shabbaton zichron truah v'yom truah yelechem le'talmudo huba. It comes for its limud. Gemara says, my le'talmudo huba. Which limud is it coming from? I understand one of them you're going to use for the gzera shava to the chatzotzrot. But what are you going to do with the other truah? You didn't tell us any other limud. He says, "Mibaye b'yom velo b'laylo." He needs it to teach us that yom truah yalechem, that you only blow the shofar during the day, you don't blow the shofar at night. So he uses up one more truah for that. So v'idach b'yom velo b'laylo minale. So the others, where do they learn that out from? Nafgalei b'yom hakipurim. So e b'yom ayuk kipurim yalif nigmar nami minoa lepshuta lefenel pshuta leachra. If he's willing to learn out the brayta, the other member on the Breita who we had before, which was that he learned out one truah for Gzer Shava, and he learns out Yom and not Laila from Yom HaKippurim by the Yovel, which means that he also has a Hekesh or a Gzer Shava with Yom Kippur or Yovel. If that's the case, Nigmar Nami Mine Lipshute Lefna Pshute Le'arechra. Why doesn't he learn out the Tkia before and the Tkia afterwards from the Yovel as well, like the first Breita that we brought said? He says, "Avarta and Taviro lo mashmalehu." He says, "Avarta and Taviro don't sound like you're blowing a tkiya. Avarta shofar doesn't sound like the word havara means to blow a tkiya." So he disagrees with that understanding of the pasuk. Elamai darishbehu. So then, what does he do with those words? "Avarta kider Rav Matna." The avarta he learns out like Rav Matna, Damar Rav Matna. "Avarta derech havarato." You have to blow it the way that it grows. Meaning you have to blow it from its narrow end to its wider end. Or another din is hafcho v'takabo. If you flipped it around and blew in it, lo yatsa. You know what you would say? And then in allegorical way, the Sifrei Chasidim say, min ha-meitzar karatika. Called out Hashem min ha-meitzar, from the narrow side. You have to blow it from the narrow side. Ve'nani merchavka. And Hashem answered me with the wide side. So that's the derech habarato. Taviru de kamarachmana, nabre biyad. So then, what's the taviru de kamarachmana? Because we had avarta, you explained. Now what about the word taviru? What does he do with that? That he had nabre biyad. You have to do it by hand. So Rashi says, nabre biyad, vilav dahadar katve, lo mishtama taviru lashon tkiya. You need both of them. You wouldn't have known that havaram has a meaning in the context of blowing the shofar. So how do I know that? Because it says it twice by the shofar, so now I understand that that's what the verb means in this context, is it means to blow the shofar, or to do something with the shofar. That's the way Rashi explains it. Tosafot gives an alternative and says, Perishiach zenu biyado v'itka, that you have to hold it in your hand and blow it. You can't just put it down on the table and then lean into it and blow it or have something else holding it. You physically have to hold it. But then he says, Perisha Kuntra Sikar. What Rashi says is the main explanation here is that we need two of them to show us what the word means. Sometimes you don't know what a word is, but if you use it a couple times in the context, you start to understand what the Torah is doing with it. It's the same thing over here. The fact that he uses it numerous times gives us a context. Okay, now we're starting to understand this word Havara. In context of shofar, must mean to blow the shofar, to engage with the shofar. Ve'idach, d'mirav natno, the other ones, mean the other braitot, the first braitot that we had, which learnt out tkiya before and tkiya afterwards from the word havara, then how does he know that you have to blow it, derech havarato, that din of Rav Matna? Medishani probably debrace, because it changed the lashon that it used. Since it used the word havara instead of the word tokeya, from that we've learned out two things. One is that you have a tkiya beforehand, and number two is that it has to be derech havarato. The fact that it described tokeya through the word havarato, I can learn out two things. I can learn out that there's a tkiya before. I also can learn out that it has to be derech havarato. So I can learn out both things from the word tiviru bayad lo matzit amart de gamara evra evra mi Moshe. Tivach of Avarta Shofar, Trua. Tivatam Yitzav Moshe, Vayaviru Kol Bamachane. Malhalan Kol, Afkan Kol. Just like over there it was a Kol, so too over here it is a Kol. So we don't have to worry about that, because whatever Moshe did over there, that's what we're doing over here. So Havara Biyad, he doesn't hold up, because Moshe did it, and when he did it, it was by Viru Kol Bamachaneh. It's talking about the sound, it's not talking about any physical interaction with the shofar. So either for Rashi, he doesn't have the other Taviru to teach you that it means to blow, but he says, I know that already because I have Gzeirus Shofar to Moshe, that Havara is a kol, or means something about a voice, because it says, Vayaviru kol b'machaneh. We've seen this used in a different context. Or according to Tosafot, you don't have to be holding onto the shofar. But hi, Tana, the mighty Lami Midbar. If you want to learn to that, Ima Lalan Chatzotzrot, Afkan Chatzotzrot. Right, if he's learning now from the Midbar, then why doesn't he say Chatzotzrot? I mean, take the whole thing. We don't know what instrument to use by Rosh Hashanah. So he's learning out of Chatzotzrot. He should use a Chatzotzrot. So Tamil Omar, Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesel yom chageinu. Ezu chag she'achodesh mitkasebo. This is the pasuk from Tehillim Pei Aleph that we read in Rosh Hashanah. But we blow the shofar b'kesel yom chageinu. We saw the different interpretations of what that means. But ezu chag she'achodesh mitkasebo. The only chag in which the moon is not visible is Rosh Hashanah. Haviyomer zeh Rosh Hashanah. It says there, tiku b'chodesh shofar. You're blowing a shofar. V'karma rachmana shofar. To use the shofar. So again, I just pointed out that the Gemara earlier said, we can't learn out of there. It's Chatzotzrot. Over here, we have a braita that full-fledged learns out almost everything from Chatzotzrot and then just says, it's got to be a shofar. So we have different opinions of how connected the Chatzotzrot are to the shofar. Right now, we have a very important statement, which basically impacts everything that we do today on Rosh Hashanah with regards to blowing the shofar. Itkin Rabbi Abahu b'Kezari. Rabbi Abahu established in Kezari, Tkia Shlosha Shvarim Trua Tkia. That you blow, basically a tashrat. The way that the Rishonim call it, they call it a kashrak. They put a kuf for a tkia, we use a tuf. A tashrat, you blow a tkia, Shvarim Trua Tkia. So that's what he says you should do. Gemara says, Manavshach, wait a minute, what is he trying to do? If he wants to say that the sound of the trua is a sound of Yuluva Yolil, which is a staccato sound, Lavit Kia Trua Tkia. Then he should just blow the sound, Tkia Trua Tkia. Igunuche Ganoch. If he thinks that the sound is a moaning or groaning sound, if you look in Rashi, by the way, he says, Gununuche Ganoch, complainer. It's like a complaining, a moaning, a groaning. So it's a complaining sound. La'avit tkia, shlosha shvarim, u tkia. He should blow a tkia shvarim, tkia. So why is he blowing a sound here of tkia shvarim trua tkia? Make up his mind. So the Gemara says, misveikale idinuche ganach iyulule yolo. He has a suffix. He didn't know which one it was. He says, let's do both. So matkifla raviviro. So Ravira asked David's question, vidilma yulule havo. Maybe it really is a trua. Become afsik shlosha shvarim ben trua l'tkia. And then you have three shvarim in the way between your first tkia and your trua. Dahadar avid tkia trua tkia. The answer is that not only did he blow a tashrat, he also blew a tarat. So matkif la ravino v'dilme genuche havo. Maybe it's a shvarim, the groaning sound, moaning sound that is the real one. Kamifska trua ben shvarim l'tkia. Then you have a trua after the shvarim that's blocking it from the tkia afterwards. Dahadar avid tashat. That he does a tashat afterwards. Ella Rabbi Abahu ma'itkin. Then what did he establish? Because now you're blowing a tashrat, a tashat, and then a tarat. You're blowing all of the sounds anyway. Iginuche ganach ha'avde. If it is a shvarim, we're blowing it. Iyubo yolil ha'avde. If it is a trua, we're blowing it. So misveikale, he had a possibility. Dilme ganach vi yolil. Maybe the two together are the right sound of a trua. Moaning and groaning, and then staccato. Where it says, why don't we do the opposite? Why don't we do trua shvarim? Also, if you're trying to get all permutations, then you should blow a shvarim alone, a trua alone, shvarim, trua, and trua shvarim. Why don't we blow a trua shvarim? Tkia, trua, shlosha shvarim, tkia. Blow it that way. So, dima yolio viganach. Maybe it's staccato and then the moaning or groaning. Stama de milta. They said, no, that's not the natural course. When people cry, kimitra be'inish milta, when something bad or awful happens to them, b'reisha gonoch, they first are moaning and groaning, and then they break down into the hader yolil. Then they break down into the staccato sounds. They start with longer sighs or longer weeping, and then it breaks down into the shorter weeping. So that's the natural course. People don't have the shorter weeping first and then break down into longer weeping. So they said that's the natural way to cry, and therefore we don't have to worry about that one permutation. All right, so here you have Rabbi Abahu, who basically influences what we do, because Rabbi Abahu basically says you have to blow Tashrat three times, Tashat three times, and Tarat three times. So he basically influences our whole blowing of the shofar because of this problem. The question is, what did Rabbi Abahu do? What was Rabbi Abahu doing? Did Rabbi Abahu take a bunch of different minhagim with uncertainty about which is the right trua? And he says, let's be yotzei kol ha-deyot and blow all of these so that we're covering all the bases. That's one possibility of viewing Rabbi Abahu. Rabbi Abahu is coming to tell us, let's make sure we get the right thing. This is a mitzvah d'oraita. Let's make sure we get it right. So he says, let's do tashrat, tashat, and tarat. Or is Rabbi Abahu really saying that all of these are fine, but we want to create a unified minhag amongst Kalal Yisrael? We don't want one place blowing it this way, one place blowing it that way, and then you develop different minhagim. How do we unify the minhag? We have everybody blow the way that everybody blows, and that way everybody's gets what they want, but we don't have any differentiation within the minhagim of Kalal Yisrael. Rav Aigon claims that that was the case. Rabbi Abahu here is not coming to deal with a safek about which one is the right trua. He thinks all of them are fine. He just wants to unify the minhag and bring everybody together. So that's one important thing. Is Rabbi Abahu just unifying the minhag, but not saying that this is a halachic safek? Or, according to most of the other Rishonim and Poskim and Gonim, is that he's trying to deal with the safek in halacha, and this is how he deals with the safek in the halacha. So now we started out. The Torah tells you you blow three truot. The limud tells us they put a tkiah in front and afterwards. So those are the limudim that make it minatorah. I have nine sounds minatorah. Those nine sounds minatorah now turn into 30 sounds because we now blow three sets of truot to be sure we're right. And one of those sounds is a shvarim truah, which we count as two sounds instead of one sound because we sometimes take a breath in between. Shvarim truah, is that shvarim? Take a breath, then a truah? Or is it one sound that it's shvarim truah? Again, good balei tkiah will differentiate the Ramah. The Mishnah Berurah brings down that you can blow them all, take a breath in between. But I think many places, including here, have a minhag to take a breath, depending when. In the tkiot miyushev, tkiot mumad, they switch. Or at the last sets of tkiot, they switch. Again, what we talked about yesterday, about switching the nature of the sound of the shvarim, but they also change whether they take a breath in between the shvarim truah, or they do it in one breath. So they try to capture these different minhagim. So we move from 9 to 30 kolot. The question is now, we blow many more than 30 kolot. Where does our minhag come from? So part of that is generated by the Gemara back on Tetzayin Amud Bet. The Gemara on Tetzayin Amud Bet brings a memra. It says, El olama tokim umiriim kishen yoshvim. Why do we blow while they're sitting? V'tokim umiriim shen omdim. And then we blow again when they are standing. Kedei larbev et ha-satan. In order to confuse the satan. Gemara back there indicates that there was a minhag to blow while they were sitting, and a minhag to blow while they were standing. Almost everyone learns that when they're sitting means prior to Shmona Esrei, that they blow what we do today, what are called the Tkiot Miyushav, even though we stand up for them. Technically, you're allowed to sit down with them, so they're called the Tkiot Miyushav. The Tkiot Umad are the ones that are blown during Shmona Esrei. So based on that, almost all the Gonim and Rishonim understand that you blow a series of sounds before Shmona Esrei, which is 30 sounds, and then you blow again during Shmona Esrei. What do you blow during Shmona Esrei? So that's a good question. Tosafot over here brings, and you can see it from many of the Rishonim, according to Gonim, there was a practice that they blew. Malchiot, they blew Tashrat. Zichronot, they blew Tashat. And then by Shofarot, they blew Tarat. They blew additional 10 sounds. So that gets you up to 40 sounds at this point in time. You're up to 40 sounds, but they added an additional 10. Tosafot, there's a large Tosafot on the previous daf, which says, I don't understand what they're doing. By Tkiot Me'umad, why are they blowing Tashrat by one, Tashat by the other, and Tarat by the last one? Doesn't make any sense. He goes as far as to suggest that maybe you should blow Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat by each of them. But he says, that's too far away from the Minhag. So in the end, he suggests, you know what we should do? We should blow a Tashrat, Tashrat, Tashrat. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says. Instead of doing this like we do Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat, and then you don't get anything, let's at least do a Tashrat by all of them. Because then, Mimono Shach Yotze, You don't say because you blew a Shvarim Truah, and maybe it's a Shvarim, maybe it's a Truah, at least you got it in, kind of. Now, a lot of Rishonim explain, well, maybe these aren't the real Tkiyot, because you already were Yotzei with Tkiyot before Shmon Esrei, so these Tkiyot only are Bevet HaSatan, so that's why we don't have to worry about what we're blowing, it's not so important. Tosfot even suggests that maybe you only have to blow on one of the Brachot. You don't have to blow on all three of them separately, and therefore, combined, we get all of the sounds that we want. So at this point, you have a minog, which is 40 kolot. If you follow the Rabbeinu Tam, you add in a tashrat tashrat, you add in two more sounds, you have 42 sounds. The Baal HaMor has an unbelievable sheet over here, and he learns Mushav and Mu'mad differently than anybody else, and he comes up with a different conclusion because of that. He says that the tkiot during Shmon Esrei are the ikar tkiot. He says there's no question that the blowing with the brachot in Shmon Esrei are the ikar tkiot. Everybody now has switched it that the Iker Tkiyot are before you even start Shmon Esrei. You're blowing sounds before, you make the bracha before, and you're done with the mitzvah of shofar, and you get to Shmon Esrei. Why would you do that? So he says, they misunderstood the Gemara. Tkiyot Mu'mad and Mi'ushav means like this. We had before, the Gemara asked a question about Beit Din. It says that you're allowed to blow the shofar on Shabbat Sdaf, that you blow it bizman sh'Beit Din Yoshvim. When they're in session, you're allowed to blow it. The Gemara there said, nin arula amod. If they began to get up, well, they didn't really get up, in Arula mode. They were about to get up. In that case, when they're about to get up, what's the din? Are they out of session or are they still in session because they're sitting? So he wants to say the same thing here by Tkiyotim Yushav and Dimumad. He says Tkiyotim Yushav are during Shmon Esrei. That's when the Kahal can sit down during Chazarat HaShatz. Tkiyotim Yushav are talking about the Tkiyot in Shmon Esrei. Tkiyotim Mi'umad are not about standing up. They are like the word by the Beit Din, Ninaru Lamot. What's Ninaru Lamot? They're getting up to leave. That means after davening. After Shmon Esrei, he says they blew after Shmon Esrei. Not before, but after Shmon Esrei. That means that the main tkiot that you're yotzei with are the ones in Shmon Esrei, because those are the first tkiot that you're hearing. Those are the ones you make the bracha on. Those are the ones that you blow first. Then afterwards, you blow an extra sound to be Marbev the Satan. He actually says you blow a Chua, a super long Chua afterwards, to be Marbev the Satan. And that's how he explains the Gemara before. In Yavne, he says after the Shliach Tzibur finished, you couldn't hear yourself talk because everybody was blowing the Shofar. What do you mean everybody's? Why were they blowing the Shofar? He says, Kedei Larbev the Satan. That's what they did. They blew a very long Chua afterwards, and he brings a proof from the Geonim that there was such a practice to blow a Chua afterwards. And it's interesting because back on Tet Zayin, it says, Lama tokim umeri'in. Why are you tokeya and meria? And you do a trua. So there is this idea that there was a trua afterwards. So that's the Baal HaMor's explanation. Now he gains a number of things from this. First of all, he says the Ikar Shofar is blown together with the Birkot in Chazarat HaShatz, not beforehand. And number two is, he explains this Mishav Mi'umad the other way, so you actually end up with the extra tkiot afterwards, the Arbev HaSatan, rather than the Arbev HaSatan being the ones in Shmon Esrei, which are the main blowing anyway. That is the way the Baal HaMor learns. But we're still stuck here at the point of having 40, 42 tkiot, depending on which day you go with. Tosafot, in yesterday's daf, quotes from the Aruch. And the Aruch says, Aruch perish ayusun kein, sheperish berach arev, alein, demachmiri v'avdei, shloshim kidyat vinan. 30 before Shmon Esrei, sitting down, tkiot miyushav. Shloshim belachash. 30 during the sandwich Shmon Esrei. Ushloshim ala seder. And then 30 during the Chazarat HaShatz. Keneged mea puyot depaya yimei de Sisra. Keneged the 100 cries that the mother of Sisra had. Vilein Asara, what about the last 10? He only described 90 here. In Yavne, he says after the Shliach Tzibur finished, you couldn't hear yourself talk because everybody was blowing the shofar. Ar inun shegomrim kol ha-tfilah, the 10 that they blow at the end of the tfilah, whether they blow that in the Kaddish Tetkabel, or whether they blow that after Aleinu, we blow 10 extra at the end. So here we move from 40. It's possible that there was an interim stage where they blew both during Ketila al-Achash and Tfilah at Chazarat HaShatz, and in that case you would end up with either 60, or if you believe that the Tkiyot Miyushav beforehand, you end up with 90. Getting to the 100 is brought here by the Aruch, because Eim Sisra, which we learned out the word of it, Yabev, Eim Sisra, we learned out from her that that's what a Yabavai is, crying. So from that, he also learns out that she cried 100 times. And since she cried 100 times, then we also blow Shofar 100 times. And that's our minhag, to blow the shofar 100 times. Tosafot asks, isn't that Baal Tosi? If he asked that early in the Masechta, he says when you do a mitzvah multiple times, it's not called Baal Tosif. Now, why are we copying Im Sisra? What does the mother of Sisra have anything to do with Rosh Hashanah? The best explanation I ever heard was, Im Sisra is crying because there are only two options. Either Sisra is dead, or Sisra is coming back with one of his greatest victories in history. It's a question, it's an all or nothing situation. Either he's completely victorious, and she tells herself, he's collecting the shlal, there's so much booty, there's so much celebration, that's why he's tearing, or he's not coming home because he's dead. So it's an all or nothing proposition, which is exactly what Yom HaDin is. Rosh Hashanah is everything on the line. Everything is on the line here. So how do I tell you that everything's on the line? I blow the 100 kolot like Im Sisra. Im Sisra was crying because she knew everything was on the line. And so too on Rosh Hashanah, we blow 100 kolot to remind ourselves that everything is on the line here. We can't take anything for granted on Yom HaDin. You're starting from zero, starting from scratch. Everything you had the previous year is on the line. Again, it's being judged. And so we do that by blowing the shofar 100 times. So that's the best explanation I ever heard about why we would mimic the crying of Im Sisra. The number 100, it's not clear where that comes from because there's mention 100 there. The Meshech Chokhmah quotes another midrash with regards to a woman who's giving birth. A woman who's giving birth cries 100 times. 99 times Lemita. And the 100th time is l'chaim, is for life. So that 100th cry is for life, and so he suggests that's why we blow 100 kolot, the 99, l'mitah, and then the 100th we blow to get to the one that's l'chaim, like the woman's giving birth. Again, you could argue that the parallel is also nice. In Rosh Hashanah, talk about the birth of the world, Yom Harat Olam, and the fact that everything is new. We're starting fresh every year. So the cries of a woman giving birth are the right cries for Rosh Hashanah. And we want to get to that 100th cry, which is the Chaim, to get to life for the year to come. So both of those allegorically help us understand where we got to the 100. But that 100 is a much later development, you have to know. I mean, the Aruch is the one who's talking about it already. So I mean, it's not so late, but it's not as clear a path as we would have thought. In the time of the Gaonim, they're clearly not blowing that many kolot. And again, they have this interesting minhag in the Shmoneh Esrei where they're blowing Tashrat, Tashad, and Tarat over the different brachot. They're not in total. Part of that might be explained, but we just said in Rabbi Abou now, some of the Gaonim explained that Rabbi Abou was not b'safek. He was just combining the minhagim. So if you're doing that, then any one of the tarot suffices. So when you blow Tashrat, Tashad, or Tarat, one of each by each bracha, then it works because each one of them is sufficient to be d'oraita. We're just trying to unify the minhag. Therefore, it's good enough to do that. And that's why maybe in the time of the Gaonim or some of the Gaonim explained that they did it in that manner. Others say because it's just barbei vet ha-satan. It's not the main mitzvah. The main mitzvah was done before Shmoneh Esrei. Now, why do we do the main mitzvah before Shmoneh Esrei? It seems very strange to do the main mitzvah before Shmoneh Esrei if the ikar is to put it together with the brachot. So that is explained by many of the Rishonim. Again, the Baal HaMor says it's not there. He says that you blow first in Shmoneh Esrei and then afterwards, not before. But the other Rishonim explained they did it for the Zkenim and Cholim. They did it for those that were older and sick who were not going to make it all the way through davening. They want to give them the opportunity to hear the shofar and not have to wait till afterwards when they couldn't make it, physically couldn't make it through davening in order to hear the shofar. So since it's so important, we blow it beforehand in order to help them out. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that we blow it in a manner which brings it together and it's easy to have all the kolot together versus in Shmoneh Esrei where it's much harder to work through hefsekot and different things that are going on. So we'd rather blow the 30 kolot together in a unit and be sure we yotzei the din of shofar rather than in Shmoneh Esrei where it's spread out. They have all sorts of other challenges in terms of the tkiot. Okay, that's Rabbi Yubal and that's our present day minhag. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shama Teisha Tkiot, B'Teisha Shot B'Yom Yatsa. You hear 9 Tkiot over the day, you're Yotzei. Meaning that you don't have to hear them all together, you can hear them all through the day. Tanya Nami Yochanan, we have a breakdown that supports this. Shama Teisha Tkiot, B'Teisha Shot B'Yom Yatsa. You hear the Teisha Tkiot over the day, you're Yotzei. Now, Mitet B'nei Adam Ke'achat, if you hear them from 9 people at once, Lo Yatsa, you're not Yotzei. We'll see in a second, Rashi does not like this girsa. Tkiya mizeh, tshuva mizeh. If you hear tkiya from this one, tshuva from this one, yatsa. Vafilu b'seirugim. Even if it's not right in order. Vafilu kol yom kulo, and even over the entire day. So here you have a break that clearly supports Rabbi Yochanan that you can hear it over the entire day. Rashi says, Me'itisha b'nei adam ke'achad lo yatsa. Why? Tre kale lo mishtame. You can't hear two voices at once. You can't hear two sounds at once. Kach perusha lefi ma shekatu b'svarim. He says that's how you have to explain it based on what the girsa in the Gemara is. Ve'lav miltei, and it's wrong. Da'u kimna Trei kalei, mitrei gavrei mishtame. By tzkiot, we said before that if you hear from two different people, you are yotzei because chaviva aleihem. The mitzvah of shofar is beloved to them, and therefore they're able to do this. So he says, v'achi garsinan la b'tosefta. He says that in Rashi changes the gears in our Gemara, mitisha b'nei adam ke'achad yatsa. You hear from nine people at once, you're yotzei. V'afilu b'seirugim, v'afilu kol yom kulo. V'lo garsinan tkiya mizeh, tshuva mizeh yatsa. And we don't have that girsa at all. So that's the way Rashi changes, he changes the gears and says that Tosefta is wrong. So that's the way Rashi learns it. Tosefot, the reason that our girsa is not changing, generally when Rashi changes the girsa, our Gemara has also changed the girsa. How come our girsa is not like Rashi? Because here Tosefot defends the girsa. Tosefot defends the girsa, many times the girsa has not changed to Rashi's girsa. And that's what he does over here. He says, Nir lekayim girsetas farim. He says, Mishum teinkan, trua with a pshuta lefenam, pshuta lachrea. If you hear it from nine people at once, then you don't have a tkiya before the trua and a tkiya after the trua. You might be able to hear two sounds at once, but there's a need for chronological order with regards to tkiya, trua, tkiya. You need a tkiya before and tkiya afterwards. You can't do that when you're hearing them simultaneously. And she says, that's why the Tosefta over here says, even though generally you can hear multiple sounds and we're fine with that, but you need order here. And because of the order, that's why you're not yotzei. And that's why it says right afterwards, tkiya mizeh, utrua mizeh, yatsa. If you hear a tkiya from this one and a trua from that one, then it works, afilu b'sirugim, because then you have tkiya before the trua, and you don't have a problem anymore. So Tosfot upholds the girsa. Gemara says, Umi amar Rabbi Yochanan hachi, does Rabbi Yochanan really say this? Amar Rabbi Yochanan mishim Rabbi Shim ben Yehud Sadak, behalel umi megillah, im sha'a kedei ligmor et kula, chozer l'rosh. And when you're reading halel, which you make a bracha on, or megillah, when you make a bracha on it, if you have a pause in the middle, an interruption in the middle, that lasts longer than the amount of time that it would take you to finish it, then you have to go back to the beginning and start over. There's a hefsek, and the hefsek forces you to go back to the beginning. So here you see that if you have a break, then you have to go back to the beginning. Why don't you say the same thing by the shofar? He says, Lokasha adidei hadarabe. That's one is his own opinion. His own opinion is that there's no problem with hefsek. His Rebbe said otherwise, which is Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yehud Sadak. He quoted that in the name of his Rebbe. Where it says, Vididei lo, is it really true that he didn't? Rabbi Abba Ava Shakav Azil Batrei de Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Abba was walking behind Rabbi Yochanan. Vavikari Kriyat Shema. He was reading Kriyat Shema. Kimata lemevuot metunafot. They got to a place that was disgusting where he can't say Kriyat Shema. Ishtik, he was silent. But at the Khalif, after he passed that area, Amalei, Mauli Gmor. Can I finish Kriyat Shema or do I have to start over again? Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan says to him, Im sheita kedei ligmor et kula, if you waited the amount of time to finish the whole, then chozer the rosh, you gotta go back to the beginning. So then it sounds like that, Rabbi Yochanan is telling him, the halacha is, you have to go back to the beginning if you have an interruption of that length. So halchi kamarle, this is what he's saying to him. Lididi lo spirali. I don't hold like this. Now he doesn't hold like two things. One is, Rabbi Yochanan believes when you go into mevot and metunafot, you just cover your mouth, cover your face, and you continue saying kriyat shema. That's number one. Number two is, he says that even if you have a gap, you don't have to go back to the beginning. So he says, according to me, there's nothing to do. Lididach the sfirlach, im sheita gedei ligmor et kulach, chozer l'rosh. You, who indicated by the fact that you asked me the question, holds, number one, that you have to stop when you get to mevot or metunafot. And number two, means that you think that once you've stopped, there's a problem. I'll tell you, if you subscribe to that halacha, the halacha is that if you wait the amount of time to finish it, then you have to go back to the beginning. So he wasn't saying in his own shita, he was just telling him, the way you are practicing, then you have to do it this way. Tanu Rabbanan, tkiot ein makvot zu etzu, brachot ein makvot zu etzu. Tkiot are not makev each other, and the brachot are not makev each other. Tkiot and brachot shel Rosh Hashanah shel Yom Kippurim makvot. Whereas the tkiot and brachot of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are me'akev. Now the way Rashi learns this is, Rashi says the first piece is talking about taniyot, other times. So there he says, tkiot and brachot are not ma'akev. The way Rashi reads it means that birech v'lo taka. They're not interdependent. You can blow the tkiot separately from the brachot, and the brachot you can say separately from the tkiot. The two are not connected. But on Rosh Hashanah, the tkiot and the brachot are dependent on each other. You must blow the tkiot when you're making the brachot. Tosafot already jumps on Rashi. The Ramban takes Rashi to task here and again in the Torah. In the Torah, Rashi writes that Malchiyot Zichron and Shofarot are De'oraita. And over here, he's implying the same thing. That blowing the Shofar al Seder Brachot is Ma'akev, meaning that it's a Din De'oraita. Rashi is claiming to blow Shofar during the Brachot, or the Brachot themselves now are De'oraita. Where? Where are they De'oraita? The Gemara, in 1 second, is about to say that they're De'rabanan and not De'oraita. So Tosafot before the Ramban, again, everybody takes Rashi to task on this. We'll come back and explain Rashi's opinion. Everybody else reads it, that in the previous case, Tzkiot Ein Makvot Tzu means the Tzkiot internally are not Makev each other. Brachot Ein Makvot Tzu, that's the Brachot internally are not Makev each other. But on Rosh Hashanah, the Tzkiot are Makev Tzu, meaning that Tzkiah, Tshuva, Tzkiah, those are Makev each other. You need the whole series to be Yotze on Rosh Hashanah. And Brachot Makvot each other means you need Machiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. They are Makev each other. Either do all of them or none of them. You can't do one of the Brachot. That's the way all the other Rishonim learn. No, Taniyot, on fast days, they also have insertions. They have 24 brachot in the Shemone Esrei and on a Tanit. On a fast day, the Chatzitzrot are blown, and you have extra brachot in Shemone Esrei. On Rosh Hashanah, you have extra brachot in Shemone Esrei, and the Tkiot are blown. So the way that other Rishonim learn is that the Chatzitzrot are not ma'akev each other, the different sounds, and the brachot themselves are not ma'akev each other, the additions in Shemone Esrei. And on Rosh Hashanah, that's not true. The Tkiot and Shirot are ma'akev each other, and the brachot, ma'akev, zechon, and shofarot are ma'akev each other. Rashi learns that it's about the connection between the brachot and the tkiyot, which raises the issue that we mentioned before. It's my time. Amar Rabba, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Imru Lefnai Rosh Hashanah, Malchiyot Zichronot B'Shofarot, Malchiyot Kedei Shetamluchuni Aleichem. Say Malchiyot so that you coronate me upon you. Zichronot Kedei Shevo Lefanai Zichronoichem L'Tova. That your memories, that what you've done should come before me, L'Tova. Ubameh, how do you do that? B'Shofar, which raises issues with Malchiyot Zichronot and Shofarot, that the shofarot are not a bracha there, but that is the vehicle that you use for all of them. So it's a question in shofarot in general. Now, we have Misha Beirach, Macharkach Nidmane Lo Shofar, someone who said Shemone Esrei, and then he gets a shofar, Tokeya Umeiria Vitokeya. He does Tekiyah Shua Tekiyah afterwards. Taima Delo Havelei Shofar Miikara. That's because he didn't have a shofar originally. Ha Havelei Shofar, had he had a shofar, Miikara, Ki Shamalohu Aseder Brachot Shamalohu. Then he should blow the shofar while he is davening, meaning with the brachot together. That's the primary way to do it. And that's what the Gemara concludes. The primary place for shofar is in Shemone Esrei. And that was the question that we dealt with before. Rapapa Bar Shmuel kam litzluye. Rapapa Bar Shmuel got up to daven. Amalei l'shamei. Ki nehir nalach. When I signal to you, or nehir nalach, when I grunt at you, takali, blow me the shofar. Meaning that he's davening Shemone Esrei, and he wants his shamash to blow him the shofar. How does he signal where to blow it? I mean, he needs to do it after Malchiot, after Zichronot, after Shofarot. He grunts at him, he tells him, gives an indication what to do. Samalei rova lo amru ela b'chevir. That's only true when you have a minion at Sibor. Tanya nami ochi, kishu shoman, shoman al seder. But he hears the shofar, he hears it al seder brachot, v'al seder brachot. He does it in order and on the brachot. Bamed, v'rimamurim b'chevir yir. That's only true when you have a minion. Al v'shalo b'chevir yir. If you don't have a minion, shoman al seder, v'shalo al seder brachot. You hear them in order, but not in the order of the brachot. I mean, you don't do it in Shemone Esrei. You have to blow your tekiyah, tshuva, tekiyah. You have to blow it, but you don't blow it in Shemone Esrei. That's only a feature of the tzibur. B'yachid shalo takach aveiro tokeilo. Person who didn't blow for himself, can his friend can blow for him. B'yachid shalo beirach, in chaviro mevarech alav. And a individual who didn't say Shemone Esrei, his friend cannot say Shemone Esrei for him. U'mitzvah betokim yoter min habivarchim. More important is hearing the shofar than it is to daven, to make the brachot. Ketzad, shtei ayarot v'achat tokim v'achat mivarchim. You have two cities. In one place they are blowing shofar, in one place they are davening. Hochim l'makom shetokim v'ein hochim l'makom shevarchim. You opt to go to the place where they're blowing shofar and not the place where they are davening. Gemara says, pshita. Why is that even a question? Hadoraita, hadrabanan. Blowing the shofar is a mitzvah doraita. Davening the Shemone Esrei, the brachot, is a mitzvah de rabanan. So of course you would opt to go to the doraita over the rabanan. He has a vadai. He knows if he goes to that city, he'll vadai, they're davening, and he'll hear chazarat hashatz, and he'll be able to hear all the davening. And he's a safek if he goes to the other place where they've already left already, or whether they're still blowing the shofar. He should still go to the safek place because that's a din d'oraita. Better a safek d'oraita than a vadai d'rabanan. But what you see from this is clear. The oath are d'oraita. The brachot are only d'rabanan. So how could Rashi claim before in the Gemara, and this is with the criticism all the Rishonim have on Rashi, that the tkiot are ma'akev with the brachot. How can the brachot be ma'akev the tkiot? Tkiot are doraita, the Gemara says explicitly, are doraita, the brachot are derabanan. So how can the brachot derabanan be ma'akev the tkiot doraita? It makes no sense. Mi doraita, you just blow the shofar and you're done. And the Gemara just said that. If you have a choice between brachot and tkiot, you go to the tkiot, because the tkiot are doraita. So that's the major, major question on Rashi. So Soloveitchik suggested, it is borne out by some of the Mishonim, including the Ramban, who argued on the Balamor about saying nine brachot and all the tefillot. He says that the brachot are only connected to the tekiot. We only say nine brachot when we have tekiot. And that is that the Rashi over here differentiates in the nature of the tekiah. It's true that when you separate, when you bifurcate the din, and you say tekiah by itself and brachot by itself, tekiot are deoraita by themselves and brachot are derabanan. But when you combine the two together, the tekiot elevate the brachot to a level deoraita. And that is because the tekiah is a form of tefillah. It's a type of tefillah that is being done. And that we know from the Gemara, who says that blowing the shofar is kelafnai v'lifnim. It's as if you're going into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. It's a type of ritzui before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore it's subject to the din of mitzvah baba veira. Because it's a divrei ritzui. It's subject to other rulings with regards to zahav, gold, on the shofar. And kategor nases negor, because it's as if you're lefnai v'lifnim. The shofar has a status of tefillah, of ritzui before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, when you combine it together with tefillah, then it's part and parcel of the davening. And that's hofech, the brachot, and the tekiot together to be a package deoraita. And that's what Rav Soloveitchik explains Rashi's opinion is. Rashi only says that malchiot, zichronot, and shofarot are deoraita when they're together with the tekiot. When they're bifurcated, then it's clear, you're right. Shofarot and tekiot are all deoraita by themselves, and brachot are derabanan by themselves. You bring them together, and they're ma'akib zuetzu, that's what Rashi says, and they're deoraita. So there's a big difference between blowing the shofar separate from the brachot and blowing them together with the brachot. It changes the nature of the brachot, and that's how he explains the shita of Rashi here, as well as in Chumash. Alright, we'll stop over here.